Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, what an honor, what a joy to be able to bow before you, the maker and creator of all things, the giver of grace, all-knowing, all-faithful, just so wonderful. And Lord, you want to hear from us. And I pray that we would come before you humbly this morning with repentant hearts, as we are still in these bodies of sin. And help us not to trivialize our own sin, Lord. And just help us to come to you this morning as we pray, and as we look at a prayer in the Bible regarding the importance of forgiveness, the importance of forgiving others. Lord, give us hearts that are not only willing to forgive, but actually do forgive. So lead us in these moments of prayer now, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to be in Luke 23 this morning, verse 34. We've now come to the cross, we've come to Golgotha, and we have this awesome statement in here, this awesome prayer of Jesus to the Father in verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I want to begin this morning by just joining and making a joyful noise to the Lord. And the words are on the back of the sheet for those who have notes. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. So let's sing this together, and then we will get into this short devotion, and then we'll go right into prayer. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Coming to the cross, we see our Lord say the first of seven things that we have recorded on the cross, and that was, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Forgiving and forgiveness is given to us over 100 times in the Bible. It is very important, as we know. In Matthew 5:44, we read, But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun, S-U-N, to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. So we see here in this prayer on the cross, Jesus actually acting out that command that he has given us. In the model prayer in Matthew 6:12, we read, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And then at the end of that prayer, as you know, he repeats this. And this is a very powerful couple of statements here. Verse 14 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." And then he turns around the other way just to make sure we understand. "But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Where will we be if our trespasses are not forgiven? Well, I don't believe we'll be with Jesus. And it seems to me like we have this awesome grace, which for no reason other than his love for us, he pardons our sin and wipes away our sin by the blood that he shed. But if we are so vindictive, if we are so hard-hearted that we cannot then forgive somebody else for something much, 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 much less, this says your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins, and that's not where we want to be, is it? So we want to remember, there's a parable, I think it's in Matthew, I'm not sure, I think 18 comes to mind, where the servant owned the king, I think, 100,000 or it's a huge amount of talents, which is a great big, big number, one talent. So this was an enormous debt, and the servant came to the king and said, "Give me a little more time, I can't pay you right now." And the king what? Forgave him everything. This servant then went out to another servant who owed him just 100 denarii, just almost nothing, and grabbed him by the throat and said, "Pay me or I'll throw you in prison." And the fellow didn't have the money, so he threw him in prison. And so then the parable goes on. The word gets back to the king that the guy who he forgave this great debt would not forgive a guy a little debt. And what happened? He was cast out, and there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. So I think it's important that the Bible tells us we're to forgive. And oftentimes I think we get the wrong idea, but I'm innocent. Was Jesus guilty when he was on the cross? Was Jesus guilty when they were nailing him to the cross? Was he guilty when he not only took the physical torture that we can relate to a little bit, but something much, much greater than that, and that's the wrath of God for all the sins of the world on himself? Was he guilty? No, the Bible says he who knew no sin was made to be sin on our behalf. So if he's forgiving us this huge, huge debt, and then we don't want to forgive somebody else some tiny, tiny little debt, we're right back in the shoes of the parable of Matthew 18, it seems to me. So may we remember to forgive. This is a duty of praying for our enemies. This is unique to Christianity. As far as I know, no other group or religion or whatever you want to call it, they seek revenge. They don't seek forgiveness. But we are to forgive, are we not? Are you a believer in that regard? Are you a witness in that regard? We need to pray that God would pardon them and give them a better mind. This does not excuse our sin. We pray for pardoning, that they would be forgiven, just as the Lord did. We know that the greatest sinners, through intercession, may obtain pardon. So we want to pray this morning, and we want to make sure that you have no hatred, you have no hardness of heart. You're not in this column over here of saying, "Well, I can't forgive that guy, you don't know what he did." And of course, we know the best way to get rid of our enemies is start to pray for them, right? Because as soon as you pray for them, you start to soften, and pretty soon you find they become people you really want to see saved, right? Now, that doesn't start out that way, does it, necessarily? I mean, we think of people, I hope they don't get saved, you know? I mean, I may say that in a fit of anger, but if you think that through at all, you realize you want to come off of that pretty quickly, because that is a terrible, terrible thing to be thinking. So we're going to pray in a group now, speak out loudly. There's some noise from the fans here, but it's nice that we have air conditioning. And speak out loudly so we can agree. because if you speak softly, we can't agree, and then you got two or three people end up praying at once in a room this size, and it's kind of hard. You will all have time to pray. Not in this group, there's too many for the time allotted, but we will break the last 20 minutes or so into tables, and then you can all pray around the table, right? And you can bring in personal prayer requests and things like that, or your ministry or whatever at that point. But in this group here, let's be praying primarily for those things that you're led by the Spirit to pray for that impact the group, you know, such as the conference, such as the church, such as the lost, such as countries or whatever you want to pray for. I'm not saying this is the way we got to pray, but pray as the Spirit leads you. And if there's quiet times, that's great. We want to hear from the Spirit. Prayer is two-way, is it not? Is your prayer two-way, or do you just talk all the time, you know? You've been around people like that, maybe like me, and all he does is talk. He said, would you please shut up and let, you know. So we want to hear from the Lord. I don't think he would ever tell us to shut up, but I think there are times when we... One word from him is worth 100,000 of our own words, right? So we want to receive from the Spirit, and then as the Spirit prompts you, pray out. And I believe the prompting of the Spirit will be fairly short. I don't think it will be a 20-minute dissertation. I think it'll be fairly short. And so let's go to prayer now. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, this wonderful room we can gather in. It's such comfort and all. And that's not the main thing, Lord. The main thing is that you're here. Your Spirit is in each of us, and you want to hear from us. Oh, how we know that the aroma of prayers comes to your throne. And so, Lord, guide us now in this time of group prayer, and may our hearts be right in your sight. Lead us now by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus we come, Father. Amen. Let's pray.